you, I hope you got some more folks coming, like my wife. Hope she shows up tonight. It'd be nice to have her. I think she found out we have a special speaker, so she laid that note. That's what everybody else does when I'm not here. But anyway, no, I think they're on the way. And I don't know where Brian and all my family are not here.
Pretty bad.
Was it traffic? Yeah, you just give them out.
Oh, that's what you yeah. That's my line.
That's right. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Good to have Brother Richard Johnson here with us. You've heard me talk about Brother Richard, pastor of 6th Avenue Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York. And he's here. You're from the Bronx, aren't you? That's like foreign country over back there. No, okay.
Got a live one right there.
You don't know the half, brother. But anyway, we're glad to have him here. Had a great time in his church up there. I told you about the beautiful church there, man. And we're talking about going up there for a sort of a revival, kind of a soul winning revival thing. And we're going to get some times together. We're just talking about a minute ago, and we'll get all that finalized. And hope some folks can go. If you've never been, you'll enjoy going. But it's a lot of walking, you don't just jump in the car and go somewhere. Not up there, or you can, but you're not going to get there right away, I promise you that. But anyway, we'll talk more about that, but he's going to preach for us tonight. He's leaving tomorrow to go back to New York. I'm going to take him in the morning to the airport in Charlotte, and he'll fly out tomorrow, I believe about 10 or 10:30, and go back home up there. But you'll love Brother Richards. He's a great, great feller, and got just a wonderful attitude about the work there. He's a real man of God. I wish he could meet his wife. I guess she wasn't able to come with you on this trip, but precious wife and great people up there. So anyway, I'm glad you got to get here. I was kind of worried about you there for a while. I was going to have to send out the church truant officer. All right. Well, I tell you what, let's do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quickly, and then we'll have Brother Tim come and lead us in a song. Father, we love you tonight. It's a great joy to be in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night. Lord, I'm glad we're able to stop in the middle of the week and lay aside all the things of the world and come to the house of God and worship in song and in fellowship and, of course, in God's Word. Lord, we're especially grateful to have Brother Johnson here with us, a great man of God that we had the privilege to meet while we were in New York last year, or in October. And Father, we're just so grateful that we've got to know this good man and his wife and people there at 6th Avenue Baptist Church, right there in Brooklyn. And Father, we pray that you'll bless that work as he works to, and strives to get to folks to the gospel of Christ right there in New York City. Lots of folks there that need God. And I pray you'll bless the work there and him and his wife as they labor there in New York City. And Father, we pray for Columbia. Lord, there's a lot of folks here that need Jesus too. And so we pray that Anchor Baptist Church will be used of God to win folks here to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad to have the folks here tonight. Lord, I pray you bless those that may be on the way. I hope they'll get here safely. And then, Lord, just give us a great time tonight. Bless the special singing and, of course, the preaching of the Word of God. And, Father, we love you, and we thank you for all you do now. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, 323, standing on the promises. Let's stand. And we'll sing a verse and then get a promise. 323. Up to age 30 can give me a promise out of the Bible, and then we'll go 30 to 60, and then we'll save the older folks till last, 60 to whatever. You might have to lay aside your pride to do that one, but somebody age 30 or younger, give me a good promise out of the Bible.
Never to leave us.
Okay, God promised, or Jesus promised, to never leave us. Okay, let's sing the second verse, and you folks age 30 to 60 be thinking of one. Okay, the second verse.
Standing on the promises of men are men. When the valley starts to appear a sin, I believe in words.
promise, 30 to 60 years of age. Somebody. Oh, nobody's willing to admit that one. Go ahead.
What work he began in us, he's faithful to complete.
Okay, he'll complete the work he began in us. Okay, and let's sing the last. And you 60 years and older, be thinking of one now. I've given you long enough. On the last now.
Standing on the promises I cannot hold, risking every moment to the Spirit's call. Trusting in my Savior as my hope in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God.
That he'll deliver us out of all of our afflictions.
I didn't think you were that old. He'll deliver us out of our afflictions. Okay, that's good. Thank you. You can be seated.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Tim. And again, glad to have you here. We've got some more folks come in, so that's good. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let me give you a couple of announcements real quickly just for this week. If you have a chance to go out by the building, be sure to do that. They have got the rafters on the portico, the drive under. They put that on. They're going to put the porch rafters up tomorrow. They've already got the heating and air of the main ducts put into the inside of the building with the air handlers. Got that done. So it's dried in enough to start working. So other than just a few things, that they haven't roofed it yet because of the cold. Those shingles will snap in two if they get below freezing, and so until they're on a roof somewhere, certainly they won't wait till they get a couple of days in a row. Of course, you know, the daytime's not so bad, but the mornings are just really cold right now, and so it's dried in enough that they can start working on the inside when the time comes. They just have a few things to do on the outside to get that done and get the portico and the porch ready to pour the concrete. That'll be the next thing once those are done. And so we're going in a good direction. If you get a chance to go by out there, I hope you will. All right. And then tomorrow night, of course, the ladies are meeting at the Biltmore at Emily and Katie's apartment over off North Beltline. And that'll be at 7 o'clock. Everybody knows what's happening. You know where it's at. Or if you don't, you can see them. It's right across from the Richmond Mall, so it's not hard to find. It'll be on the right-hand side of Beltline as you turn left at the light in front of the Richmond Mall there. And be sure to go around to the back side of it. So you'll go not where the main entrance is, but go to the next street, turn right or turn left, and go behind the apartment complex. There'll be somebody at the back door. You'll see somebody from the church there that'll direct you into the elevator, then up to, what is it, fourth floor, third floor, something like that, fourth floor. And they'll be all ready for you. So you ladies, if you haven't been going to the M&M meetings, I wish you'd go. It's not an exclusive club. It's for any of you ladies who want to go. If you're visiting and want to go, that's fine too. They'd love to have you. It's just a time for them to plan for some mission projects for the year, get together and fellowship and that sort of thing. And so if you could go tomorrow night at 7, please be sure and do that. If you have any questions, you can see Miss Judy or one of the girls, and they'll be glad to give you the information that you need, all right? And then, then of course, Sunday is our regular services. We'll be right back here. Now we'll have Bible study on the 22nd, and so that'll be, that is actually 2 weeks from this coming Friday. A week from this coming Friday. And be at my house at 7 o'clock, so just keep that in mind. We always have a good time of Bible study at the house. And I think that's all really for this week. Like I said, pray for Brother Johnson to be flying out tomorrow, going back to New York. And so pray for the work there, but we're going to hear from him in just a little while. And really, that's all we have now. Brother Tim, you're going to be gone this weekend, right? So no choir practice this weekend.
It's snowing in Virginia, so we're still...
They're supposed to go to Virginia for a few days, but they're talking about getting 24 inches of snow up there. And so if he wants to go up there, that's have a blast. I hope all that snow stays north of North Carolina. Amen. But anyway, so more than likely, unless the weather just really gets awful, they won't be here, so we won't have choir practice Sunday, so you won't have to worry about that, okay? All right, on the prayer list, some folks to remember, Kelly Richardson's got colonoscopy going to be done next week, right, on Monday? Is that right? On the 18th, that's Monday. Monday. At, and did you tell me it was at Baptist?
Yes,
Yeah, okay. At 7:30. So remember her in prayer if you would. Kathy Chalmers called me right before I got to church tonight. And she got her results back from her heart test, and she's got three blockages that they're going to have to deal with. And so they're going to, on the 1st of February at Providence, they told her they could do the heart cath at the VA, but then if they have to put stents in, which is probably what they're going to have to do, they don't do that. So they would do that and send her to Charleston. So she just said, you know, I'd just rather do it local and get it all done at the same time, because you go, unless something bad happens, it's a you know, same day kind of operation kind of thing. You're home that afternoon. So they have scheduled it for the 1st of February at Providence. And so just keep that in mind if you would. And Christy's still real sick, and so remember her. And good to have some of the folks back that have been this whatever this is, bronchitis, almost like a flu, but it holds on. It doesn't give up right away. And so we still have some folks trying to get over that. But glad to have everybody here that is here. Continue to pray for Brother Rice, of course. Connie Krush, remember her. Don Lemoy, continue to pray for them. CG, my father-in-law, is at home. He's had sort of a bad day. Not bad. He just doesn't feel well. Of course, the problem is when he gets home, when he feels good, he hits it running. You know, that's the way he's always been, but now he's 70. And he's battling with that cancer, and you know, he's just going to have to learn. You just can't do that. You got to take baby steps. And so we hope that it's just the fact that he's worn himself out, just trying to break leaves and get up on the roof and build a barn and all kind of. And he just, I'm telling you, you can't leave all the stuff he does by himself. I'm telling you. So pray for CG though, and some other folks on the prayer list. Let's continue to pray for them. Also, I got a personal email, and Steve, I think, sent out an email about Shirley Hughes, that she's been on a chemo pump for several weeks. They've taken her off of that to determine how this chemotherapy is going to work on her particular cancer. So they haven't heard anything about it since then, so we're just kind of waiting for some kind of results. But of course, Brother Richard's evangelist, and we support them. And Shirley Hughes is a great lady. They're the ones that send us those Bible reading schedules every year. And we appreciate that. And you pray for Shirley Hughes, if you would, okay? All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Yes, ma'am.
Just want to thank the Lord, first of all, for giving my mom safety traveling. She flew from Minnesota to Alabama today. But also pray we're going to go to see family there as well this weekend. And pray we can be a witness to her.
Okay. Her mother's not saved. I honestly did not know that until. She's such a wonderful lady, or she has been to me anyway. And, you know, sometimes you've got to be careful. You don't just assume that somebody's a Christian like that. So pray for Ms. Wass. Wow, okay. Yes, ma'am. Pat.
Oh, I have a full day coming up, February 18th. So just pray that I have a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna take up a special love offering for her bagel. Don't know what else to say, do you, Pat? No, she's going to family court, so you pray for that situation. We really pray that it turns out well, because if it does, it's going to mean a lot to the family. So pray for them, okay? All right, anybody else got a prayer request you want to mention? Yes, ma'am.
I had a friend, Jean Pritchard and Alfred Pritchard. You probably know them. Her mother was buried today, and her husband is not well, so pray for that family. And also, Amy and Chris had a dear man that was like a spiritual father to them who came over to the Philippines every year. He died, and Chris is just devastated because he was more like a father to him than his own father, because his father's not saved. So,
well, the Bible
and they
said
left
many
together.
Teachers, but not many fathers. So when you get somebody like that,
he
you
went to Asheville for the funeral. So
pray for Chris and Amy and Pritchard's, okay? Yes, ma'am.
Remember, Cher, she's to have surgery Friday.
On Friday, yeah. Their daughter Cher's having surgery on her hand.
On her hand,
some nerves and things, so they're going to have to do it in Kershaw and Camden Friday. All right, anybody else? We'll miss anybody? Yeah, continue to pray for Ms. Ruby. They moved her to the 8th floor. They still have not transferred her out yet. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen with all of that. But just continue to pray for her. She's at Baptist Hospital. Yes, ma'am.
Dad, just keep praying that the doctors will have the wisdom tomorrow to get chemo. And they still haven't told us what the next chemo step is as far as to go along with what we're already doing. just to pray that the Lord give them wisdom.
Yeah. For her dad, yeah. All right, anybody else? All right, then Brother Tim, let's have another song if we can.
All right, 335. 335, we'll sing the first and last stanzas, showers of blessing. 335, let's stand together. All right, sing out now.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior of love. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing begin. Mercy from troubles are falling, love for the showers in need. There shall be showers of blessing.
Now this is you giving to missions and or the building fund, however you want to designate it. We'll take a love offering for Brother Johnson at the end of the service, and we're going to take good care of him. It's not your anniversary or anything, is it?
No, sir, not
that. Okay.
My wife isn't here. I forget.
All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering. And let's see. Brother Rick Richardson, how about pray for the offering? Would you do that?
Lord, thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you for watching over the week. Thank you for the good week we've had so far. Bless the message tonight. Give the speaker the words to say to you, Lord. Watch over us. Please bring us back safely on Sunday morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Without a doubt, I'm saved. I've been born.
Sent us on our 30th anniversary trip to New York City, one of the greatest trips I've ever enjoyed in all of my life. and was able to go with Judy on our 30th anniversary, and our 30th anniversary in the ministry. And when you all presented that to us, of course, I've always told you, you know, if you go on vacation, find a church to go to. And Judy and I are no different. I mean, as soon as I got home, I started typing in churches in New York City to find out where a good independent Baptist church was when I found out where we were staying in Queens. And so I typed it in, and two came up. One was relatively close, and the other one was in Brooklyn, Sixth Avenue Baptist Church. Well, I pulled up the websites, both of them, you know, King James, and both of them, you know, it seemed like the kind of churches we'd like. And I got, but on their website, it had the history of their church, and I like to read the history. I like to see what it's all about. And I read some really good names that had been associated with that church down through the years. I'm talking about that church is how old, Brother Johnson, now?
147
years old. And I mean some great folks. I think Billy Sunday's song leader either went there, or I'm not sure if he's a member there, or maybe they had a service there. There's a lady that, and I can't think of her name, Brother Johnson probably fill you in on that. She wrote two or three songs in the hymn book, was a member of that church. And so I pulled that up, and it showed the pastor's picture. And so I thought, well, I'm kind of torn. Well, about that time, Steve called me the next morning. He said, Pastor, he said, I know a church you can go to in New York. Said the man that's the pastor went to Tabernacle.
Yeah.
I said, oh, well, that takes care of that. I said, that's where I'm going to go. I thought to myself, and I wonder how those folks take somebody from Tabernacle, though. And so anyway, I said, well, who is it, Brother Steve? He said, in fact, I know the pastor. I said, great, who is it? He said, Richard Johnson. I said, Sixth Avenue Baptist Church? Yeah, that's him. I said, that's the one we was leaning towards going to. So sure enough, we got the car on Sunday morning, which was a real trip, and with GPS tried to find it, and it said, you are here, and we're in the middle of a neighborhood. And I said, well, we're, you know, because I'm used to a church with a sign and a parking lot. That's not the way it is in New York City. They're just jammed in between buildings. And this church was on the corner, but I didn't see a sign, and so we drove around again, and it said, you are here. And I said, we're in the same spot. And so I think I called the church. We tried to find a place to park, and I called, and we were like a block over from where it was. We got there, got in. Oh, you ought to see the inside of this church. It's absolutely gorgeous. Man, just big wood. I don't know how many is that church hold, Brother Johnson?
Right? 350.
350. It's got a balcony. Got the biggest working pipe organ I've ever seen. I mean, boy, that whole front of that church is nothing but a big pipe organ. I leaned over to Judy. I said, boy, I bet old Steve and John might get on that thing. And so when he and his wife introduced him, the first thing I said, was that pipe organ work? He said, yeah, we just don't have anybody to play it. I said, uh-huh. So if we do get a chance to go up there, Lord willing, I'm going to take one of them at least, if not both, and I'm going to see Brother Johnson will turn them loose. I said, Steve, if you get on that pipe organ, keep on the fire in line. That'll tear up the neighborhood. But anyway, and then the service, the people were so gracious to us, just wonderful, wonderful folks. And Brother Johnson was very kind to ask me to come back and preach that night. So I had the chance, the opportunity to preach in New York City.
Wow.
But man, who'd ever thought that a little old gooberhead from Detroit would get to preach in New York City? Amen. And so we're looking forward to going back to helping him with maybe a revival meeting and some handing out tracts. And I'm telling you, are those brownstones, those homes, if you've ever seen the old brownstones with the stoop, and they're just as far as you can see, just one after the other. I mean, literally, you could probably hand out 1,000 tracts in an afternoon just because the homes are so close together as opposed to here. We have to drive a mile everywhere you go. You know, it takes a long time. So I'm really excited. I'm telling you, I hope we get this thing worked out. He's already given me a time, and I'm going to call him. I said, when he gets home, he gets settled back in, I'm going to call him and set up some logistics, and then we'll let everybody know just, you know, about whether or not you're able to go. I told him, I said, now, brother, I said, you know, I'd say probably most of our folks would like to go. I said, but if they all go, there won't be anybody here for church on Sunday. So I'm not sure exactly how we're going to work that out, but we'll get it worked out some kind of way. But anyway, I want Brother Richard to come and just share a little bit about his testimony, and then give him the opportunity to preach to us tonight. And then you pray for him. I'll be carrying him to Charlotte in the morning to go back to New York. All right. So Brother Johnson, come on ahead. We're glad to have you, brother. God bless you. Make yourself right at home.
I appreciate that so much. All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 5. And if you don't know it, but your church is already an answer to prayer. As I discipline my children, they've been threatening lately to put me in a nursing home. And I believe I found the spot.
Watch out.
Revelation, chapter number 5. It is so good to be here. And your pastor and his wife, especially her, but your pastor and her wife were such a blessing. And we do appreciate them coming up and being a blessing. I don't know if I mentioned, but especially her. And it was so good for you to send them. Send her back anytime, praise the Lord. We'd love to see them both again. Amen, praise the Lord. But we do hope that it would work out, and we're going to try to get a couple of dates and whatever might work out. And we'd love for you to stay in the church, and that way it wouldn't cost you for a motel or anything crazy like that. And that way it kind of cuts the edge off of the expenses. And boy, just come and see a move of God and experience New York City and pass out some tracts and to influence a Yankee for God. There's double rewards in heaven if you're able to do that. Revelation chapter number 5, stand if you're able. If you're not able, God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of God tonight. But if you are able, let's reverence the Word of God. Revelation chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation 5, and your King James Bible reads, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. This book was written within and on the backside, and this book was sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book, and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof.'" I'm going to ask my Greek teacher, praise the Lord, Brother Crowd, if you would, open us with a word of prayer.
Our Father, what a wonder to read the Word of God. Lord, to read the passage Brother Richard just did in Revelation. Lord, to know that in my heart I said, he's going to preach about Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll touch his lips, touch his thoughts, and may the words of God, Lord, penetrate our own hearts. And Lord, at the end of the service, if somebody's lost, help them come to know this Jesus. Lord, somebody that's not where they ought to be with you, help them to draw close to where they should be. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may kindly have your seat. Well, as we find ourselves in Revelation chapter number 5, it is a pivotal turning place inside the book. For we find as chapter number 1 is opened, there's certainly that divine introduction. Verses 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3 have described the 7 different literal, visible, historical churches. And then in chapter number 4, it begins again with a little bit of an introduction, talking about the throne in heaven. But in chapter number 5, we're introduced to a scene that will be our eternity future.
Right.
It is one of the most beautiful pictures of worship to be found anywhere inside the Word of God. And the reason I draw your attention here tonight to Revelation chapter number 5 is we are busy, are we not? Mm-hmm. Boy, it seems like all this technology is supposed to save us all this time. I don't know about you, but I don't have no extra time. I've got less time now than I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And you know, you go up and down the road, boy, people are just more full of road rage. I tell you what, if you did any shopping at the mall, I believe we got mall rage, we got credit card rage, we got Santa Claus rage, we got nursing home rage. I tell you, we are just a stressed out group of people, and I believe the only thing we got left is about $5 on our credit card, and we're all about just to jump off a bridge somewhere. And the reason I say all that is what we have here is God calling time out. You know, it's not just the little kids misbehaving that need a time out. You see, as the chapter is upcoming, the terrible judgments are about to fall, as each and every one of these seals referred to are broken. And the reality is that God, before the description of these horrible judgments, He says, we need to get focused. We need to reestablish some priority. We need to be able to have a perspective, not just of this book and how this unfolds, but in our lives. It can't just be about next, or the corporate ladder, or a to-do list, or how much time we ain't got and how much to-do we still have to get all done. I don't believe that another cup of Starbucks coffee is going to help us.
No.
What we need is worship.
Right.
Yeah.
Worship. And in our hearts, we crave it. We long for it. We intellectually, we know that it's necessary. But we're just so busy. And sometimes even in our own humility, we think, well, you know what? I'm really not the dad I should be. Not the Christian I ought to be. I'm not the missionary I ought to be. There's so much room to grow. God deserves so much better than anything I could ever give Him. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll recognize the need, but we won't engage in worship because we feel our own unworthiness. But as I draw your attention back to the text, the focal point isn't on me.
Right.
It's not about you.
Right.
It's about Him.
Right.
Yeah.
So no matter how unworthy I might be, and you could get up with a long list of my faults, I just have to get right next side of the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Mm. Everything you could bring up, and Steve will give you all the dirt later. He'll just write it in really fine print so you can't read it much. But there's a lot there to read. I'd have to agree with you. In fact, my mama was just here. I couldn't let her stay for the service. Oh, the story she could tell. How the worst kid grew up to be the preacher. But can I say, He is worthy.
Hey,
Richard. Yeah.
And that's where we've got to begin. That's our foundation. You see, if the devil's going to turn the table and say, who are you to worship? Well, let's be honest. I'm not worthy to hold the Word of God. I'm not worthy to sing a song of Zion. I'm not worthy, amen, to have a promise to claim. I'm not worthy to even have a thought of God.
Right.
So why stop at worship? None of us are worthy for any of it. And yet, He says to come under that throne boldly because it's a throne of grace. It's not because I deserve it. Hallelujah. It's because He gives us that privilege because of the blood.
Amen.
And worthiness is not about us. It's all about Him.
Hey.
And worship is one of our privileges.
Yes.
And I have to say, I believe it's a privilege we're giving up far too easy.
Yeah.
Do you remember the alabaster box? And boy, how they fussed. You know, if we're not careful, we'll camp out right there.
Oh.
It's just a waste of my time. I don't know how to do it. Boy, I tell you what, I got so much to do. I'll try, and we'll line up right there. Why was this great waste? And it's not about a feeling. It's about faith. It's not building up our spirituality. It's recognizing who He is.
Right.
Remember Mary and Martha? I don't know about you, but I'm way more of a Martha Christian than I ought to be. You see, sometimes the preacher's greatest occupational hazard is I get so busy doing things for God, I don't have time to spend with God.
My mind.
Worship. Well, if we're not careful, we'll let the devil sit on our doorstep and lead us right to Isaiah 14. You know, he wants to be promoted. He wants preeminence. And we'll get so focused on our sin, we're glorifying the devil. We'll begin to think of all of our faults. We'll begin to think about all of our failures. All of the potential we should have reached. Think about that. As we rehearse all of our sin and all of our shortcomings, we're glorifying the wrong one. It needs to be about Jesus.
Yeah.
Can I say, He delights in your worship. Maybe I could put it like this. I got a granddaughter, and she calls me Papa. And as I stepped on some kind of sliver or something or other, and an infection got behind that thing. And boy, I tell you what, I'm ready to take a paper cutter to my big toe and just be done with the whole mess. It's been about 2 months, and I tell you what, I'm limping around. Well, about 2 weeks or so ago, we was looking at her walking. And we said, "Now, Caitlin, what are you doing?" She says, "Oh, I got a bad toe." And it was really funny because she got the wrong foot. She's really trying there. She goes, "You know, it's just like Papa. Just like Papa. Boy, my toe. This is my good leg. This is my bad leg." And she came over and she said, can I hug it, Papa? You know, can I say that's a little bit about worship? Just wanting to be more like Him. Just wanting to snuggle up to Jesus.
Yeah.
Not trying to take His place. Not trying to push Him out of the limelight. But recognizing, man, without Him, I'm nothing.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
But because of Him, I'm a child of the King.
Yes. Mm. Amen.
Don't never let the devil steal your worship. In verse number 1, we're introduced to a very special book. The Bible says that it's in the right hand, that right hand of power and authority. And this book is written on the backside, but it's also written on the inside. Now, what we would call a book in our modern day binding is a little bit different than a book in that historical context. They had a book that would be more like a scroll, is what we would call it. And therefore is the seven seals. And what would happen is they'd roll it all up there to keep it from getting all unfurled and the pages brittle and maybe breaking off and part of the message lost. They would take that hot wax and they would put it on the edge there, that document. And then with that signet, they would burn it in there, that impression. And the idea was that whosoever document that belonged to, whosoever symbol of power and authority would bear in that wax, you had better be of equal or greater authority to be able to open up that under the penalty of death. Now what makes this very unusual is that it was written on both sides. Very rare instances where that would take place. The most strategic of those was in military documents. Can I tell you? There is some spiritual warfare going on.
Right. Yeah.
There is a devil. There is a world system. There is a flesh that's trying to steal your victory. And again, that worship just reintroduces us to that fact that because of our relationship to Jesus Christ, as it goes back to to Calvary, we have nothing to be ashamed of. Amen.
Right. Amen.
We are a child of the King. Yes. He said, I will come again. Hallelujah. You are so precious to God. He's going to come back personally. He's not dispatching an angel. He's coming back personally to take you to be with Him forever.
Amen.
You see, in those military documents, they couldn't have two or three different pieces of paper for fear that those papers might get scattered and lost. You see, as they were orchestrating the troops, and there was some strategic decisions that had to be made, and they had to coordinate those forces just exactly right. They had to make sure that there was only one document to be read. So therefore, they would write it on the inside and on the backside to make sure that the message could never be lost. And so as this scroll is sealed, the call goes out, heaven and earth, even those under the earth. There is a critical message. There is something so important. It's God's revelation unto man. Oh, His message is urgent. We've got to find somebody to open up this book. And as that call rang out, no man was found worthy. And in verse number 4, the Bible says that John wept. And the reason he wept is he became confronted with the reality of his own sin. And can I say that paves the way for worship? You know that?
Right, Brother Richard.
You see, it's not enough to hate the alcoholic's sin. It's not enough to open the newspaper and pull out some heinous crime and hate their sin. We have to hate our sin.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
First and foremost. And within that humility, we're ushered into the presence of God. And as John began to weep, as he began to think that that message was unattainable, verse number 5 says, there was one found who was worthy.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And in the few moments we have left, that's what we'd like to preach about tonight as it relates to worship, is why is Jesus so worthy? Well, the first reason, He's worthy because of His person. And we're introduced in verse number 5 to two distinct titles that Jesus bears. Number one is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And secondly, the Root of David. The Bible says that incorporated in these two victorious titles reflects His dignity, His majesty, His glory, His power, His honor, for that He hath prevailed. He didn't quit on you. He didn't quit on me.
Amen.
Through eternity past, through eternity future, His program has come to fruition. There is one victorious who sits on a throne. And He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now when we're introduced to Him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that is the royal tribe. Amen?
Right.
That means that that victory is ours. Right. No matter what the circumstances might look like. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, the Bible says that He giveth us that victory because of the resurrection. And when you study 1 Corinthians chapter 15, oh, the victories, they just fall like dominoes in rapid succession. Hallelujah, we're going to drop off that image of the first Adam. And we're going to take on that image of the last Adam. Hallelujah. Time is going to be no more. He's going to wipe those tears from our eyes. Hallelujah, just as His tomb was empty. Someday the Lord shall descend Himself with a shout. And that archangel's going to blow. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we will have victory over the presence of sin. The penalty of sin. Hallelujah. The power of sin.
Right. Right.
And within that victory, we're reminded that all those prophecies been fulfilled in our Lord. You see, the world likes to mock because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. But he's not, as those men account slackness. Amen? He is coming again.
Amen.
And the world likes to count his long suffering, his meekness for weakness, his patience for powerlessness. But hallelujah, he is coming again. And yet when you find yourself in that predicament, man, what a great time to worship. You see, there was in a day like in Egypt's bondage, all they had was the promise of God. All they longed for, amen, was to be delivered. And yet when that deliverance came, too many wanted to go back. Too many longed for the onions and the leek and the garlic of Egypt. Can I say, don't be that carnal Christian.
No. Hey.
Don't always be looking back. If there's one thing that burdens my heart, it's when I go to a fellowship and people stand up and they'll talk about 5 or 10 minutes about all the sin in their life and they'll give a couple short sentences about Jesus and sit down. That is not victorious Christian living.
Yeah.
When you share that testimony, it ought to be 1 or 2 seconds about sin, hallelujah, and 5 or 10 minutes about Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
But when you're in that awkward spot, when it looks like the devil is winning, when it looks like your own flesh has snuck up from behind with a baseball bat, can I tell you, you still have the victory? That's the perfect place to worship.
Right.
And say, Lord Jesus, I don't know how you're going to get glory from this, but thank you. Lord Jesus, I know that I failed you. That's why I can't even save myself. To the uttermost, to the guttermost, you incorporate me in no part of my own salvation because I'd blow it, I'd lose it. Thank you, hallelujah, that you saved me. Thank you for Philippians 1:6 that you promised to continue to work until that day of redemption. Thank you, Lord, in spite of these circumstances and I've painted myself into a corner, you still are who you are, that lion of the tribe of Judah.
That's right.
Even when it looks bad. Even at family court, hallelujah, you just worship,
yes.
Sister.
Right. Yes.
Because you know, all the devil's got is little victories.
Yes. Right.
You see, it's amazing. But even like in the time of the tribulation, he's going to let the Antichrist think he's in charge. Mm-hmm. Woo! You ever know, all the devil is just a messenger boy for God. Romans 8:28. That's all it is. You worship. You worship. Second title is the root of the tribe of David. Now, when I was dating, I have to admit, there was one thing I never did. I never got out to the backyard and found some old gnarly, nasty oak tree and dug up the roots and gave them to my wife and told her how much I loved her. Chances are, if I'd done that, there wouldn't have been a wedding. But it describes the fact that Jesus came bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh.
Yes, yes.
In fact, the Bible says there is no beauty nor comeliness that we should desire Him. Now, I tell you, some of these pictures you see of Jesus all sissified.
Yes.
Boy, I tell you what, poster boy for gay rights, that is a
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
He's a rugged man. He's a carpenter now. He wasn't no pretty boy.
Right.
Right.
And the reality is that we have that high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmity.
Thank God.
Yeah. Tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin. That root of David means that he understands what you're going through. He understands every pressure, every temptation. And sometimes I hear people say, well, it must have been easier for him because he was God. Oh, no, no, no. You got that thing all backwards.
Yes.
If I'm a thin man, but if I was to go over here to this piano bench, all right, I'm pretty sure that if I tried hard enough, even as skinny as I am, I could probably move. That's a picture of me. You see, the devil don't have to really fudge a whole lot and I'll bail. Don't really have to push too hard. I'll fall.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a man.
Right.
But if we go over here now to this wall right here, and I ate kryptonite before I came. But if I'm pushing this wall here, I could ask for 4 or 5 men, could I not? And we could all get up here, we could push and grunt, we could strain. We'd end up in the ER, but we're not going to move that wall. End up with hernia surgery, it wouldn't be pretty, but that wall's a standard. You see, that's the difference. When I'm tempted and the devil pushes, I move. It only takes a little bit for me or you to compromise or to fall. But he took all the devil's brunt. He took the full pressure. And he stayed.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I tell you that anchor hold?
Yes.
Within the veil.
Amen.
And you can worship even when you fall. Because there's one that holds firm. You can worship even when you're ashamed of your own self. Because the truth is, if you're married, there's things about you you don't even tell your wife. Man, I heard a preacher one time, they're telling him on some kind of a pastor appreciation day, and he said, oh, you're such a great man. He said, listen, if you could read my mind, you'd come up here and spit in my face. And I thought, well, that might be honest, but I don't know if I'd have said that. But the truth is, doesn't take long to find Adam. You know that?
That's right.
In fact, I've been told if you're going down a road in New York City with all them potholes, there's nothing can come out of that glass that you're holding that wasn't in the glass to begin with. Sometimes God lets you be in a situation to show you what you really are. Teach you what it takes to fix it. You know, the glory of repentance isn't just for the sinner, boy. If you study those letters in Revelation 2 and 3, almost everyone has a call to repentance. Again, that repentance leads us to worship. Because the more we are honest about who we are, the easier we see Him high and lifted up. What blinds us is our pride. What blinds us is our sin and our rebellion. But they said, oh, there's one that prevailed. That lion. What victory do you need tonight? What area has the devil been a little bit too busy? What is it perhaps you used to be doing for the Lord that's kind of dropped off a little bit? What is it that you know that God's been calling you to do and you've been a little bit slow at surrendering? What is it that this church needs as a body that you might be that pinky or that thumb or that big toe or that kneecap or that shoulder to help lift up the man of God? What is it that you might do to bring honor in glory? Don't stay back defeated.
Amen.
Say, well, I could never do it. Well, maybe that's just the calling. Like a David fighting Goliath. There's no earthly reason why there should be a victory except that God gives all the glory. Say, what do you mean? When they called David after the battle and Goliath is all dead, do you know what they asked him? He said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesse's little boy. The father got all of the glory. And you see, if we could do it in our own understanding, if we could do it in our own strength, it wouldn't be Him! And that's why it's so precious that you stay surrendered. You stay willing. You stay humble. And say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll serve wherever you want me to serve. I'm going to brag on my friend a little bit. But if there's a greater servant than Brother Crow, I tell you what, I don't know him. Ever since I first met him, that's all he's ever wanted to do is serve the Lord. Never asked for a pay raise. Never asked for a lot of attention. Never stood up and said, hear me, this is what I do. But I tell you what, you could come down the hallway and hear that piano sing And you knew God was in the place, amen? I mean, that's all he's just wanted to do, is just serve and sing and play and bring glory to God. If you don't want me here, that's all right. I'll go over there. Oh, you don't want me there? I'll go over here. If that's already full, I'll go here or here or here. Just let me go anywhere. I just want to serve. That's a blessing.
That's right. Amen.
It's a blessing. And I think of you often. Hallelujah. You're precious to me. And within that worship, if he's got the victory, if he identifies with all of our weaknesses, then what are we worried about? It's all right if somebody sees us stub a toe or fail or fall down in the mud. I tell you what, sometimes you can have good fellowship in that mud. There's a lot of fellas right there next to you. Some of the best friends I ever had, that's where I met them, right there in the ditch. And you stay there in the ditch, and you know what you notice? God's right there waiting on you, and he'll help you out. Worship. Second reason, and then we'll probably have to close here. But in verse number 6, the Bible says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb." We can worship him because of his position. What we find in the Word of God is that he's the focal point. And that's where worship really brings us. He needs to be the focal point of our life. And I tell you what, in this modern day of religion, I tell you what, it's sickening how people aren't even bashful about how much attention they get or they want. Or a $600 million plane, or a $900 million lotto ticket, or alligator shoes, or the fanciest Cadillac, or the thickest carpet, or the biggest house. Goodness, it's sad how in this modern day it's become all about us. But up in heaven, there's no power struggle. Up in heaven, there's no contention. Up in heaven, there's no controversy.
No.
He's in the midst. All the spokes are connected to him. Amen.
Right.
And within that worship, he said, "Boy, I just want to look at him. Hallelujah. Let me get one more glimpse. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah." It's kind of like Isaiah 6. When those angels burst out in praise. It's almost within the inexhaustible majesty of God. Boy, every second God gives them just a fresh perspective of his holiness and his majesty and his power. And they get a glimpse and go, "Holy, holy, holy." And he gives them another angle. "Holy, holy, holy." And they continue on forever and ever and ever. Because that's who he is.
That's right.
Yeah.
How are we ever going to compete with that? Because I got a pretty pipe organ? Because I can match a shirt and a tie? Man, I can't match it. My wife picked this out. Who am I fooling? Goodness, we can't do nothing, right? We can't get out of our own way. We're so full of vulnerabilities and insecurities until we realize it's all about him.
Yeah.
You see, when you begin to worship, can I tell you, that's the most secure place you will ever be. Because you see, God already knows it already. All them little secrets nobody else knows, God knows. All those little pet sins we think we're hiding, he knows. All those dark thoughts we're planning about tomorrow, man, he knows. All those things we thought we covered up, playing church, he knows. And he loves us anyway. And he says, "Come my presence. I died for you. I shed that blood. I'm going to wash you white as snow." 1 John 1:9, just come on in and confess it and forsake it. And we'll have good fellowship. Man, how do you not love a God like that?
Yeah, that's right, brother. Man,
I tell you, I've seen people separate over $20. I've seen lifelong friends fall in love with the same girl and almost shoot each other, and then she run off with the third fella and they still hate each other's guts. I've seen two guys argue over a hunting dog. I've seen two people go to an auction and want the same car. And it's amazing all the junk of this world will just get hung up on. Mm. When it needs to be about Jesus.
Right, Brother Richard. Yes.
In the midst. Mm-hmm. Let me give you one more, and I promise I'm going to close. The Bible says that they beheld him as a lamb, as it had been slain. We can worship him because of his priesthood. You know, there's a lot said today minimizing the blood. And I tell you what, any preacher that looks to minimize the blood of Jesus, you can just mark that fellow
right off. That's right, brother. Amen. Exactly right.
I mean, I've heard them, these guys say, oh no, the blood is just synonymous with the death. Okay, if that's true, then he could have died by drowning. He could have died by heart attack. He could have died by hardening of the arteries. I mean, would that have worked? A lamb as it had been slain. See, what that tells us is that the blood is still fresh.
Yes.
That's what it means. Now, if we get our typology correct here, let's retrace some steps to the Old Testament to understand what we have in Jesus. Because that's the picture. And the reality is always greater. That which is in the light always surpasses that which is in the shadows. What they used to do in that Old Testament now was have that basin of blood and they go in to that Holy of Holies. And there on the top of the Ark of the Covenant where those cherubim wings almost touched was a manifestation of the presence of God. We call it the Shekinah glory. And those priests would go in there and sprinkle that blood on the Day of Atonement. And the way it worked, it wasn't for the year past now. It was for the year ahead. It pointed us to a greater day.
Amen.
All those that would die in that upcoming year, their sins were under the blood. Now, Hebrews tells us that Jesus, we've all heard a cell phone, hallelujah, let's all look. The Bible says that Jesus went in with His own blood.
Hey.
You know that?
Yes.
Now, if we have our typology correct, the place where the angel wings, that's the throne. That means that the Son went into the presence of the Father and sprinkled that blood in the lap of God.
Right.
That's what it means. And the picture there is that you got an accuser. And every time the old devil comes in and says, boy, that old sorry Richard Johnson, the Father just looks down at the blood. It hadn't dried up. It didn't slip into the ground and just get washed away. That blood still saves.
Hey.
That blood still sanctifies.
Yes.
That blood still separates us from the world. Yes. That blood still satisfies the heart of every believer.
Hey.
Because sometimes I'm so ashamed of myself, I don't know how I can crawl back to God and ask forgiveness one more time. But that blood is still fresh. See, Jesus paid it all. And all of my sins in that future day, all of my transgressions, hallelujah, been blotted out.
That's right.
Everything I've ever done already put in that sea of His forgetfulness.
Yes.
I can worship my God.
Yes.
Because man at his worst brings out God in his best.
Yeah.
Man, there's things I can't tell nobody. And yet, my God loves me in spite of myself. And I can worship because I'm never going to be holy. I'm never going to be righteous. I'm never going to be good. Let's be honest, I'm a filthy, rotten, ungodly wretch. But with that blood, I tell you what, I'm a born again child of the King.
Right. You're
shouting the victory.
Amen.
Here, I'm called the saint. Woo! Hey, praise the Lord. Man, that's a miracle sure enough. That blood is still fresh. So the next time you're having one of those days that Mama warned you about, Jesus said, you're welcome. The next time the devil tries to bring up some haunting memory of the past, you say, you know what, devil, you're right about that. I need to pull right over. I'm going to worship Jesus for forgiving me of that thing.
Hey.
Amen. The next time he says, you can't do it, you're going to fail, you have to say, you're right, but Jesus already succeeded.
Yes.
I'm going to go forward for God by faith. Jesus can do it even though I can't. And every time you are confronted with your sin, don't deny it, don't hide it, don't try to cover it up. Just remember a lamb as it had been slain.
Amen.
The Father just looks down at his own lap, says, devil, you leave him alone. He belongs
wonderful
to me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there might be one here tonight that would say, I want to worship. I want to engage in one of my privileges. I've been selling myself short. I haven't been loving my Savior like I need to, like I want to. I've been living a little bit defeated, listening to the devil's lies. But oh, how I want to camp out with the glorious truth of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to let the pastor come and close as he sees fit. But church, it's one of your privileges. You just love Jesus and worship.
While your heads are bowed, just a moment, we're going to have prayer together. And listen, we've heard from the man of God tonight. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, can cleanse you from your sin tonight. You can get saved tonight. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You can do it tonight. God's waiting. He's calling for you to come. So while heads are bowed, I wonder, maybe there's one here tonight that would say, preacher, I'm lost. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. And if the blood of Jesus can save me, I want Him to come into my heart. And I want you to pray for me. Now, my prayer won't save you. I just want to bring you to the Lord's attention. And then you must decide. But while heads are bowed and no one's looking, could I pray for you? Would you lift your hand and say, pray for me. I want to know the Lord. Anybody at all? Just hold it up. I won't call your name or point you out. Just want to pray for you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. Is there another? Quickly now. We'll not linger. All right. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask if you raise your hand and you'd like to be saved. I want to invite you to come forward and say, Pastor, I'd like to know the Lord. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Now, understand that raising your hand doesn't save you. And saying, I need the Lord, doesn't save you. What saves you, as the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's an act. It's an act that you must do by coming and saying yes, and praying and asking Jesus in your heart. Heavenly Father, tonight, we thank you for the message, and thank you for the messenger. Lord, our hearts are knit with Brother Richard. Father, what he preaches, I believe, and have preached for 30 years. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that that word of God has spoken to one heart at least, and maybe more. The raising of hands does not prove or disprove the work of God. The Holy Ghost can work when no one else knows it but the person he's working on. So I pray in Jesus' name that the one that did raise their hand will come forward and trust Christ. But maybe there's somebody here that didn't raise their hand, but they know in their heart that they're lost and going to hell. But the blood of blood, Jesus, God's Son, cleanseth us from all of our sin. They can leave here tonight a new creature in Christ. It's up to them. It's their decision to make. Others have needs. Maybe a Christian that's not where they need to be with God. Maybe they need to come up to the front here in one of the front seats, or just stand right here at the front of the room and bow their head and do business with God. Whatever it is, whatever the need is, I pray that folks will respond. Bless the moment of invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please.
223.
We're singing together. If you'd like to come and trust Christ, you do it now. And if you need to come and pray about something, if you've got something on your heart you want to pray about, you come do that while we sing. Come on.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it's all thy love to me. I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord.
Unless you come. Don't send away your day of grace if you need Christ. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is to trust Him as your personal Savior. You don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed. All right. Thank you so much. You can look this way. Be seated a minute, in fact. And get the plate, Brother Tim. We want to give, but now, two things. Come on, ushers, you get the plate here. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. What you give tonight to Brother Richard, all that goes to him, of course, and the church will put some in too to kind of help take care of some of his expense, and they were very good to us, and we want to be good to them. And here's the other thing I want to do. Now, Brother Richard is a mission pastor. He went to New York and started another work, and then merged, if I understand that right, merged with this church. It's too small, and so now they're meeting in this building, but he merged with this church, and I don't have a clue how many folks he's got in the church there, but it's right smack in the middle of this large neighborhood. I mean, you talk about a lot of possibilities, but you got to remember where it's at, too. And I remember many times knocking on doors in Michigan and Detroit. And I mean, you knock on 100 doors a night, and if two people even bothered to answer the door, you were doing good. And if you got them to take a track, you might have revival. I mean, because folks are so hard. It's so hard. But you know what? The folks down here will take the track and treat you good, but they're just as lost as those folks are up there that are hard. Because it's not about your attitude. It's about who you know. But anyway, and so here's what I'd like to do. We've had over the last few months, we've had two of our missionaries who have come off the field for personal reasons and health reasons and so on. So we've got a little extra. I'd like our church to take Brother Richard on as a mission church pastor. And normally what we do is $25 a month. I'd like to do $50 a month for him. To help him. Amen? Now that's just, I'm just making that recommendation. You folks are going to decide. But such a work there. And I really hope we can get involved in helping with that ministry. So you all sending us up there wasn't just because we enjoyed the trip. But I think God introduced us to a work up there. that if we can help with it from Columbia, South Carolina, we should. Here's an example of a New Yorker made his way down here and got saved. Amen. So, you know, it works. And Brother Richard's from Washington State, I think, aren't he? He's not even from New York. But anyway, so I'd like to make that recommendation that we take Brother Richard and on as a mission pastor there in New York City for $50 a month. What's the pleasure of the church?
Make a motion.
Made. Do I hear a second? Second. Any questions? All right. All in favor, then say amen.
Amen.
All opposed by like sign. That's what I thought. All right, good. So, Brother Richard, we're glad to have you as part of our missions program.
Thank you so much.
We believe in missions. And, of course, yeah. God knows I get 10 calls a day. Judy, tell you, I got 5 today from missionaries. I wish we'd take care of it. I do. But we just can't. We're just not able to. I knew he was coming. And I've ever since I met him, I just felt like something we ought to do. And really, it's worked out because of the situation here. And God's blessed us financially that we can do that. So thank you, church, for doing that. And so we'll start, February, whenever the next deal is, and get that sent to him, okay? And so we'll look forward to hearing from you, Brother Richard, every month or so about how things are going up there. And then we'll hopefully get to plan a trip up there and see it for ourselves. Amen. All right, so Father, we love you. Thank you for the message tonight. The Word of God, straight from the heart of the man of God, and I appreciate that. And Lord, I appreciate the church being willing to take this man on as a missionary. He's there trying to win them people to God. Doesn't get much of a salary. And I mean, he's there doing it because he loves God. And he's gone through the process of being trained as a missionary and as a preacher. And now, Lord, he's just looking for souls. He's just looking for fruit for his labor. And so, Father, if we can help by helping him financially, it's not much. I wish we could do 500 a month. But Lord, whatever we can do, it'll be a help. And Lord, then to be able hopefully to become a sister church here and sort of knit our hearts together to work, not only to get people saved in Columbia, South Carolina, but in New York City as well. And so Lord, I pray you bless him on his travels home, bless the ministry there, bless the ministry here, and thank you for a wonderful group of folk who just want to see people come to Christ. Bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Should be. And I appreciate that about him, and he's a humble man, but he'd get wound up a little bit. I think if we had him in South Carolina for about a month, we'd get him shouting all the time.
Amen.
But you know, went all the way. How in the world did you find Tabernacle from Washington State?
It's a long story.
Yeah. I mean, I was really surprised. I just assumed he's from Greenville. So I found out he's from Washington State. But Brother Steve talks so highly of him, and then Judy and I had met him and his wife, and he's everything that Steve told us he was, and I know the Lord's pleased with his work. All right, we're going to stand together, be dismissed in prayer, and then we'll get everything put back together if we need to. Now, don't forget, ladies, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, over at Emily and Katie's apartment at the Biltmore Apartments on North Beltline, right across the street from the Richland Mall there, as you turn left at the light off of Taylor Street. Or Forest Drive, I guess it is there. Turn left at the light if you're coming from this direction, or you turn right if you're coming from the Columbia Way. and it'll be down there on the left as you go down that way. Okay? 7 o'clock. Be sure and go around to the back of the parking lot so they'll direct you in. Okay? All right. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Joaquin dismisses in prayer, would you?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful message we received from our brother in New York. Wow, you just got to believe deep in your heart that what he said is just true. If everybody just put him first, Jesus,
yes.
Just put him first in everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we touch, this world would just be a better place, Lord. Thank you for those in attendance. Watch us as we go to our daily lives. Bring us back safely on our appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.